A farm hat is a necessity for many people, something to keep the sun out of your eyes or perhaps the top of your head warm in the winter. On this farm, the hats went far beyond that usual purpose, though. I'll explain on this edition of The American Countryside.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, the only weekend television show that features some of agriculture's biggest names. From custom commentary from John Phipps to the stories of antique iron with Machinery Pete to a list of more than 30 marketing analysts, our weekly program focuses on the topics that matter most to you. We invite you to join us each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
In the 1960s, Scott Legrand's dad was selling livestock equipment and snowmobiles as well as farming. He was on the road and would occasionally be given a hat from those with whom he did business.
He went into the closet to get something one day, and there was a bunch of hats on the shelf that was kind of different colors. And he said, that's kind of pretty. It'd be kind of fun just to collect some of them. It kind of got away from him, and one thing led to another.
Scott's father began collecting hats, sorting and boxing them. Scott recalls his father being a part of a national hat collectors club.
They would trade amongst themselves, and that went on for many years. And then as they passed away, they would contact my father, do you want my uncle's collection, would be interested in my husband's collection.
Meanwhile, Scott and his father were always working on their family farm that dates to 1875. Many of the hats had ties to their livelihood.
A lot of it was farm hats. That's just because we're in that industry and our family's been doing it for so long. There again, he had another couple rules. They had to have a patch on them or an advertisement. They couldn't be plain, and then they couldn't have any dirty sayings. They had to be clean sayings.
Over time, the collection grew, and his father set personal goals for the number and types of hats he wanted to collect. One of those achievements was tied to John Deere dealerships.
He wanted to get a John Deere hat that said the state and the name of the dealership from every state, so all 50 states.
And once he had all 50 states, he set out to get one from each Canadian province as well. Scott's father passed in 2011, which means Scott oversees the massive amounts of hats today. And that collection can be measured in semi-loads. It's something he enjoys, but also something he hopes to pass on so more can see. I'll explain next time as we travel the countryside near Frost, Minnesota. I'm Andrew McRae.